Welcome back. Melnick in the afternoon, TSN 690. Hope you're enjoying this Wednesday afternoon, especially now that the snow has stopped blowing around. Aaron Ward, Pierre McGuire, back-to-back in the next hour, along with Andy Bennett, John Still, Mitch Melnick with you until 6 o'clock. Yesterday at this time, after it was announced that Captain Sean Couturier would be a healthy scratch for the Flyers.
I mean, Torts has been around forever. I mean, I played for Torts when his first head coaching job back in Tampa, so that's how long he's been at this. He understands the risks and the rewards, but I guess for him right now, it's worth it to try something. And I mean, those are three pretty, not only Couturier, but Cam Atkinson has been playing as of late. They just traded for Gurianov. He's going to sit out. Those are three pretty veteran forwards installed in defense as well. He's just saying, listen, we're going with the young legs. We're going to play faster and better. And if they make more mistakes, at least they'll make them going fast.
About 2 hours later.
Now brought in by Owen Tippett. Try to backhand that back in front. He's blocked by Tippett. Back along the boards, the point it goes to Cam York, drops it back, Owen Tippett, long shot, scores! Tippett, 19 seconds in, gives the Flyers the lead.
Word with the call, they hung on for a 4-3 win after jumping out to a 3-0 lead, and after the game...
As I told you, I'm putting the players out on the ice to win a particular game, and these were the 20 that we decided to go with.
He seemed a little...
Not talking on Sean, I'm not debating with you, I'm not conversing with you, it's between Sean and I. So just talk to me about the game, guys.
And Sean was out. How do you think the team responded, especially?
It has nothing to do with Sean being out. Are you asking me about the team?
How did they respond in your eyes?
Our team played good tonight.
Let's go to Gord Miller. How you doing?
I'm fine, thank you.
A lot of drama. A lot of drama for a March matchup between a team that's 99% in the playoffs and one that's hanging in.
Well, here's the funny thing is John Tortorella always tells his team to block out the noise. He always says that, you know, you got to block out the noise. He makes most of the noise. Right? Like, it's unbelievable. I mean, and Couturier did not take this, you know, sitting down, so to speak, although he was sitting when he talked about it. He was, you know, I don't like the way I've been treated lately around here. And, you know, the coach has the right to make the decisions that he thinks are best for his team. Now, in Tortorella's case, it's to make the right decision to win the game that night. All he cares about is the next game. You got to think, though, longer term. And this, we've seen this movie before. I was in Vancouver when Ottawa played the Canucks in the Heritage game. And the day before, there was this family skate on the rink and everything else, and I was talking to Roberto Luongo because I'm not playing tomorrow. I'm like, what? He said, yeah, I'm not playing tomorrow. And he was just incredulous. And that began the downward spiral of the Luongo relationship with the Canucks and, you know, all that stuff. So, yes, the coach has to make hard decisions, but those decisions have longer-term consequences. And I think, you know... Look, Couturier hasn't played well since the All-Star break. All that's fine. But the way he does things just rubs people the wrong way. First of all, he wasn't available in the morning. He sent the assistant coach, Rocky Thompson, out to talk. When you're making a move like this, go out and own it. Secondly, after the game, don't be upset when people ask you about it. Of course they're going to ask about it. You just scratched your captain. You named him the captain a month ago. And now you've scratched him. So I think that, you know, Tortorella is who he is, but that doesn't make it right.
Yeah, I mentioned earlier in the show that the late Gilles Loupien's son, Eric Loupien, is Couturier's agent, and he threw some verbal bombs in the direction of Tortorella. So I'm curious there. I think one of the reporters was trying to get to that. But, you know, he answered the question. He did answer the question.
Well, the first thing he walked in is Anthony Sanfilippo went to ask him a question. He said, I don't take your questions.
Okay, but that's like based on some history, right?
Right. Doesn't like. But what other coach in the league does that?
Yeah, but this is a guy who invented something about Kevin Hayes. I mean, I don't mind that.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, okay, fair enough. But, I mean, I think there's other ways to just say next question. Like, it doesn't always have to be combat.
Okay, so listen, Gord, I was watching with the Canadians starting at 9. There was a lot going on. Mike set it up perfectly 24 hours ago at the end of the first period.
This was Tortorella in the game against Tampa. Now, remember, the Lightning were celebrating the 20th anniversary of their 0-4 championship. All those guys were there. And he kept saying, I'm not leaving. Get him over here.
So, yeah, he got kicked out of the game for arguing calls. Didn't want to leave. Made a big spectacle of it. And while that could, you know, players might like you sticking up for them, that could be true. And it is sort of funny if you're not the NHL or the officials. That's sort of true. There's also the element that he demands accountability or he'll scratch you if you're the captain. And yet, there he is,
well,
getting suspended for two games at a pivotal time of the season. Not very accountable behavior. I mean, it works both ways.
He's the guy that came to Toronto in February and said it was a young, dumb league and talked about all the dumb mistakes young players make. I mean,
yeah, getting suspended for two games in the middle of a playoff run, not the smartest. Absolutely.
He did once charge a visit to the dressing room in Vancouver, got suspended in the playoff series for squirting water on fans in Washington, so maybe he shouldn't be the one pointing out dumb mistakes. But he has certainly brought fire to Philadelphia. No question about it.
All right, I completely forgot about the squirting the water stuff. Can you refresh my memory?
He actually tossed a water bottle over the glass at a fan. It landed on the lady next to him and soaked her.
Oh, jeez.
And he got suspended in a playoff series.
Right, okay.
So here's the thing. He preaches discipline. He preaches accountability. He preaches making the right decision. He might be the last person in the NHL, in the history of the NHL, who should be calling other people to account for that. Has anyone done dumber things than him as a head coach? What other NHL coach has stormed the opposing team's dressing room?
These are fair. These are fair points. I doubt he's ever going to be on the TSN panel again, but that's fair.
Well, and here's the dichotomy with John. I've known him for 30 years. I've spent time with him socially. We were colleagues at TSN and at ESPN. And he can be lovely company. But the fact is, he's completely out of control. Or put it this way, he's unable to control himself a lot of the time. He is completely unable to control his impulses. He's like a child. And the problem is that social media especially, and TV as well, is not a floodlight. It doesn't fully illuminate things. It's a searchlight. It finds shiny objects, moving things, things that make noise. And that's what John is. And so he winds up on top 10 lists all the time. He winds up on the highlights all the time. He winds up going viral on social media all the time because people like it. I just find it astonishing that someone who's been around that long is incapable of controlling himself so much of the time.
John Tortorella, shiny object. John?
Well, my whole thing that I just said at the start, Gord, is just for a guy who seemingly doesn't care what people have to say about him, he does have an incredibly thin skin when it comes to asking some very pertinent questions about anything that's going on with his teams on a day-to-day basis. And yelling over someone is not an answer to a question. And that's my whole thing. I actually very much like John Tortorella probably about 80% of the time because, look, as much as I disagreed with what he did with Sean Couturier, in the immediacy, which seemingly is where John Tortorella is always working, it worked. They got a 4-3 victory over the Leafs. Now, like you said, long term, how does it work out? But the thing that bugs me is that when he makes these wild decisions is that his response is just to yell over people who are just asking a very normal, reasonable question.
And in a lot of cases, it's been to use profanity over the years, right? He's had profanity-laced tirades in press conferences that are you know, televised live. I think that it is – you make a great point. Don't dare criticize him. Like, don't dare ask a question that criticizes his moves or second-guesses something he's done. He'll lose his mind on you. But he throws bombs all the time at people, right? Like, he's throwing grenades at players all the time. But heaven forbid you should ask him a pointed question about something he's done because he'll snap. It's incredible to me. And it's, like I say, it's a dichotomy, because anyone who's now, people who are with them as colleagues would say this, underlings, maybe not so much so. I would say to you that people from PR departments, people from travel departments, others who have been around him have had their issues with him and his explosions and tirades. So I wouldn't say he's, I would say this among players, you know, I can't think of a player more disliked, a coach more disliked by his players, his former players, than Mike Babcock. Scotty Bowman certainly was disliked by a lot of his players in Montreal, but they respected him. There's a lot of players that Mike Babcock had that don't respect him, and there's a lot of players that John Tortorella had that don't respect him.
I don't know if I've ever seen, maybe I'm noticing it, and I hadn't paid attention to it before, a coach's tirade on camera blurred out the way it was on TSN last night when you were showing his meltdown against Tampa. That was like, for lip readers, sorry, but...
Yeah, that's a decision that that TSN has made. I think that, you know, lots of kids watching and things like that. I think that it was incredible. Like, he got tossed out of the game, and I'm not leaving. Really? What are you having, a sit down strike? Like, come on! Like, I didn't respond to those when Blair was five.
Yeah.
Like, imagine if one of his players did that. Like, just for a minute, say that. That one of his veteran players got kicked out. I'm not leaving. And gets another penalty.
He won the game. He is, I think. I don't know if has this changed the minds, because a lot of the broadcasters have a vote on the Jack Adams. Do they not?
Oh, of course. I've got one. And look, he's in my top. If they make the playoffs, he's in my top three. I think Rick Tocchet is the runaway winner. But yeah, because I don't like what he does and the way he conducts himself, I don't have to deal with him. I don't seek him out for meetings. I don't ask him questions at press conferences. I don't deal with him. I don't have to. But so I can put that personal, my personal feeling about the way he treats people aside. He is likely going to be one of the finalists for the coach of the year if the Flyers make the playoffs.
Another aspect of the game last night was another one of these stage fights we're seeing more and more of.
And
Ryan Reeves got hurt. I saw him leave the ice, and he looked like one of his eyes was closed. So I don't know if Delorier
finger
got
finger in the eye.
Finger, that's what it was. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a thumb or a finger in the eye during the fight when Delorier was kind of grabbing for him. His hand kind of got in his eye. I don't think it was intentional, but no, you're absolutely right. So. During Mark Masters' pregame hit, you could see Reeves and Delorier talking at center ice, like two guys leaning on a bar right in front of Mike Johnson. And Delorier said, we can go right away if you want, or we can go when you want. Like they were reserving a table at a restaurant.
Yeah.
So you know what? And I hear the fans saying, you know, like the crowd stood for it. The crowd loved it. You know, everything else. Fair enough. And that's fine. So if you like fighting, if you're in favor of fighting, just say you like it. Don't say it keeps the star players safe, because it doesn't. Don't say it keeps sticks down, because it doesn't. Don't say it regulates the temperature of the game, because for the most part, it doesn't. Just say you like it. That's okay. It's okay to like fighting, but you also have to acknowledge that there's a price to be paid. And that long term, people punching each other in the head with bare knuckles, wearing skates on ice, is not a healthy activity.
Gord, do you think that with the recent death of Chris Simon and his family saying that they believe this was a direct link to CTE, and then, you know, just this very unemotional response from Gary Bettman saying, you know, we're going to wait and see what the medical people say. Like, I don't know a nice way to say this other than, like, how many more guys have to die before they make some sweeping changes in the NHL?
That's a great question. And I think there's a double side to the argument. And part of it is no one forces guys to fight. You know, if you want to fight, I mean, look, there's lots of high risk activities in sports. Race car drivers, downhill skiers, those are all risky. The difference is fighting is against the rules. It's a 5-minute penalty. So I wonder, they're so afraid of offending the old school hockey crowd, their so-called base. They're terrified of doing that, of gentrifying the game. But the fact is, 80% of NHL games are fight-free. If you're going to NHL games, and if they're marketing NHL games based on fighting, they're doing a horrendous job because there's almost no fighting now. So, Andy, here's what I'm worried about. And I've called a couple of fights where things went horribly, horribly wrong on the ice. Jim Cummins one night for Chicago got in a fight, had to be taken off on a stretcher. Dave Drazinski was a young guy for Ottawa, just called up. And Fraser McLaren of Toronto, really, it was right off the opening faceoff, right in front of Ray Ferraro. And Drazinski had to be carried off, and I don't think he played much after that. My fear is someone gets badly hurt on the ice, or God forbid, killed.
But
because you're on the ice, right? If your helmet comes off and you hit your head, something really bad could happen. And then it'll be too late. And so all these people that like fighting and, you know, and Carnival, you know, on broadcast, they do a tail of the tape and the announcer's like, you know, here they go and all this stuff. When someone gets badly hurt, you can't say, well, you hate to see that. You can't, because you came to see that.
And Gord, the secondary problem is the aftercare that the players receive once their playing days are done. Has that improved? Because I remember doing interviews with guys like 10, 15 years ago, and they were thought it could be a lot better.
Well, I guess the problem you would argue is there's no way to undo the damage, right? Like, not that we know of.
Yeah, but there's support for mental health, and there's
sure,
follow-up and things like that could be.
I think the player assistance program has become better, and certainly Glenn Healy has done some great work with the NHL alumni in terms of health care for retired players and mental health care. But, you know, to your point, I mean, you go through the list, and the question is, you know, how much of it's caused by fighting, how much of it's caused by, you know, substance abuse and everything else, but how much is substance abuse related to fighting? The thing is that fighting has changed dramatically in the NHL. In you know, John Ferguson was a good hockey player, right? He took a regular shift. He scored 20 goals a bunch of times. He was a good player. Dave Semenko scored 20 goals. He took a regular shift. But what happened in the 1990s is the emergence of these guys who only fought. So, you know, they would have fewer than 10 points in a season. They would play fewer than 8 minutes a game. And they would basically only fight each other. Because Dave Semenko weighed 215 pounds. Then Tony Twist and all these other guys weighed 275. They only fought each other. So the idea of the one-dimensional player who only fought is actually fairly recent in the game. And it's kind of evolving out. So we are just now learning the long-term effects of guys that fight 200-300 times. It's not good.
And some of those guys started eating steroids, and it made some of those scraps
even. And fighting in junior, and fighting in the American League.
And it's the painkillers too, right? Like, that is an entry point for a lot of them for addiction.
Yeah, painkillers and all of it. It is the ugly side of that. And it's not one that people who are in favor of fighting are willing to acknowledge. But my question's always been, if hockey didn't exist, if you had just invented hockey, if you were just starting the game now, we're gonna allow guys to fight on the ice. You're gonna what? Like, it would be unthinkable if you were starting a sport again like that.
Very
people look at it like the face slapping competition. Like, no, you're not doing that.
Very quickly, the Leafs are in Washington tonight. The Capitals making up one of the games in hand they have on Philadelphia. They're right there with Ovechkin revitalized. Do you see them getting in?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I mean, they've kind of hung around here, haven't they? Ovechkin's playing better, but they're playing better defensively. They're getting better goaltending. They're getting more depth scoring. It's going to be a dogfight. Patrick Waugh's team seems to have one wheel in the ditch, but they're still in it as well. The trick for Philadelphia is this brutal schedule, right? The Flyers have, last night was their third of seven straight against teams above them in the standings. They're playing the top five teams in the Eastern Conference over the next seven games. You know, Boston twice, Toronto twice, I think. So if they can get through those seven games with 7 points, they've got two of a possible six so far. I think they can probably get in. But what they don't want to do is get into that soup in the wild card where now you've got the teams from the Atlantic Division as well, like Tampa and Detroit and, you know, Buffalo's on the fringes of it too. Now you're in that massive race for those last two wild card spots.
Flyers winning last night because of their fiery coach, John Tortorella, shiny object. Thank you, Gord Miller, as always. Great stuff. Talk to you in a week.
Sounds good.
We'll get to Aaron Ward and Pierre McGuire back-to-back after John Still's update on Melnick in the Afternoon on TSN 690.